Dealing and Dealing, the Georgia High School Basketball Podcast. I am Kyle Sandy, the owner of SandySpiel.com. And with me today, as always, is Ramin Forgani, my producer and moderator of the podcast. Ramin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. And yourself, Kyle?
I'm a little bit under the weather. You might be able to tell. I'm battling a cold here, a sore throat, but it's Elite Eight time right now, and that's when the elite producers come out to perform, and I'm trying to be that, Ramin. I'm trying to do the best I can for the GHSA and the state of basketball in Georgia, and we got some big games to run down, and we're going to switch it up a little bit today. Instead of going through our usual mundane recaps of all this good action, I think we're going to hop right into the Elite Eight previews and give the people what they want. Does that sound good to you, sir?
That sounds excellent. Now's not the time to cop out. And with the Elite Eight, we only got eight teams left in each classification, as the name suggests. So let's get ready and touch on all of these games. I'll jump right into it in Class 7A, where in the top left corner, Grayson, your sleeper picks made it all the way down, and they are facing off against Brookwood. That's a rivalry that, if you look at football, long history there, and that should be a good one just because of the school rivalry.
Yeah, Gwinnett County, two teams matching up. That's going to be all about guard play right there. Brookwood's been that magical Cinderella run with that four seed. Bubba Parham has been phenomenal, the Region 7 Player of the Year. Hit another big shot, again, against Hillgrove. He is just money in the bank. He's got Trey Higginbotham on his side as well, and Marcus Smith does some good things. Coach Bowles really has them rolling, but Grayson answers right back. They have Travis Anderson, who's been playing very well. They got Kenyon Jackson inside and Gerald Buncombe, two difference makers that Brookwood doesn't quite have with the size. Both of those guys run about 6'6" and can do a lot of important things inside for them. And then just overall, Coach Jeffrey Pierce has his boys rolling. That's a team that beat Wheeler in the first round last year. Now, there are a lot of new faces, but there's a lot of good pieces. They pulled away late from Etowah in their second round matchup, 69-53. So I really see Grayson and Brookwood. I see Travis Anderson and Bubba Parham really trading blows. And if you're in Gwinnett County, that one's going to be packed out. That's a game to get to very early.
In the bottom left quadrant, the matchup I think a lot of people have been waiting for once this 7A bracket came out, Pebblebrook is at home. Norcross will be traveling to meet them.
Yes, that's another one that's going to be good. That's a rematch now. Those two teams saw each other earlier in the season. Pebblebrook nipped Norcross 77-69 at the Tournament of Champions. You probably don't even need to listen to me on a preview of this game because we all know about the Blue Chippers, Colin Sexton, a superstar scoring guard, McDonald's All-American, going to Alabama. He's going to take the lion's share of shots, and he is a notorious big-game performer. Norcross is going to have to chase him around all game long. Drew Drennan has played pretty well at the point guard position. I believe Jared Jones went down with an injury late in the game for Pebblebrook. We've got to check on his status. That is a key piece right there inside for Pebblebrook at about 6'8". He's a talented inside-outside guy that has been coming on strong later on in the season. In Norcross, we know Rayshon Hammond's going to Georgia. Lance Thomas, 6'9", shot blocker, going to Louisville. Kyle Sturdivant, good guard. Dalvin White, JoJo Toppin coming off the bench. And then Jordan Goldwire. Deciding factor here is Jared Jones' health. He's going to have to be 100% if he wants to battle inside with Norcross. Norcross does have a little more size on that front line. If he's not 100%, I think Norcross is size and good defense. You see Jesse McMillan seeing Colin Sexton for a second time. Maybe Norcross will be able to find a way to finally slow down Sexton and deny Pebblebrook a third straight year in the state championship game.
Over on the right side, Newton took down the defending 6A champions in Westlake in the Sweet 16, and they are going to be taking on Tift County.
89-83 was that triple overtime thriller. One of the best games in state history, probably, it sounds like. Newton just found a way. They were up 42-28, and Westlake came storming back. But at the end of the day, J.D. Note with 24 points. Isaiah Miller with some highlight slams, 21 points and 10 rebounds. And then, of course, sophomore point guard Ashton Hagans, 11 points, career-high 17 assists. Just enough to overcome a heroic effort. Chumo Kiki ends his career in high school with 35 points and 20 rebounds. He'll be at Auburn next year. He's a big-time talent. He's going to do some great things over there in the SEC. Danny Lewis going to Central Florida, had 18 points in that game. And Jamie Lewis, who's been out for just much of the season, could never get back on the court full-time. He did not play. And that's a huge blow for Westlake when you have your big-time leading point guard right there not able to play for most of the season. And they're going to be seeing Tiff County, who really just took to Berkmar. Rashad Bateman had 4 threes in a 3-minute stretch in the third quarter, and that gave Tiff County just enough of a lead to hold off Berkmar 72-55. Micah Johnson, Alabama State point guard, had 18 points. P.J. Horn going to Virginia Tech had 17 points. Now, in that game, Tiff County, that's a team that's all about playing hard-nosed deep and being tougher than you. And Newton, they like to get out, run and gun and fly. That's a game I'm going to be at. I'm interested to see what Tiff County has. I know they have some dogs inside. P.J. Horn's going to have to be a man inside. He's going to have to be a workhorse. He's just going to have to out-rebound them and just really punish Newton on the low block. But just so much speed and quickness for the Newton guards. They're going to really be pushing the tempo and challenging Tiff County's defense. But I don't see Tiff County, you know, coming all the way up here to Newton and just laying an egg. So I think that's going to be a hotly contested matchup with some big time performances, and I think it's going to come down to the wire.
Your final Elite Eight matchup in Class 7A for the men, Wheeler, who seemed to put their regular season miscues behind them, is going to be taking on McEachern.
Yes, that is another rematch. McEachern beat them 77-67 in their first game, and that was at the Tournament of Champions. And that was a surprising outcome because McEachern, we weren't sure, is McEachern for real? They got a lot of young youth over there. Isaac Okoro really just cemented himself as a big-time five-star, four-star, five-star, whatever you want to call him, top prospect in that class of 2019. He played exceptionally well in that game. And Wheeler's been playing much better now. They beat Mountain View 73-44 in the second round. Doug Lipscomb has not been on the sidelines, and they have been playing exceptionally well with Doug not on the sidelines, dealing with some health issues, dealing with some eye issues. But Wheeler, they're starting to get it moving in the right direction. Mario Mays does a really good job now that he's, the official head man over there, I think. And so that's going to be a really tough game for McEachern to beat Wheeler for a second time. I would probably actually favorite Wheeler in this game just because I like how they're playing right now, but that's another one that's going to be a real doozy of a matchup, and McEachern's really going to have to pack that place out and get some home field advantage, home court advantage if they really want to take down Wheeler and deny them a shot at the Final Four appearance.
Over on the girls' side in Class 7A, can Lambert beat Collins Hill?
That is a good question. Now, Lambert has played some good teams and played pretty well. You know, another close one, 55-50 over Hillgrove, beat them. I think that was the second time they beat them this year. But Collins Hill, boy, they got some massive size inside. They got Javen Nielsen, Data Wright, Jaron Stallworth, all going over 6 foot. Ania Long, 6 foot as well. Bria Harmon, sophomore point guard. Coach's daughter going to Purdue already as a sophomore. She's already committed. They have a ton of firepower. It's just going to be really tough for Lambert to negate their size. They're going to have to shoot the ball really well, the Longhorns, and they're going to have to rebound well. Jalea Green's going to have to really hit the glass and try and keep Collins Hill off the boards as much as possible. It's going to be a tough task, but I do like Collins Hill in this game. But you never know what happens. Lambert's been playing very well. Girls like Summer Edwards and the rest of the gang, Emmy Craven, they're going to have to play great. Going to have to limit turnovers and hit their shots, but Collins Hill is going to enter this one as a favorite, I think.
And quickly, just give me a prediction. Norcross at Westlake.
I have Norcross taking down Westlake this year.
Over in 6A, South Cobb taking on South Paulding.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. South Cobb, both those teams went into overtime in the Sweet 16. South Cobb went into double overtime to beat Glen Academy, 88-79. Ralu Arizo, 22 points. Trevin Wade had 21 points in that win. And then South Paulding, a scary one. They were down about 16 points. I think I heard it was in the third quarter. Then they went to the full-court man pressure defense, and they got back in, and Drew Shepard hit a three as right about when time was expiring, a very late fourth quarter three, to send that game into overtime. He had 16 points along with DJ Jackson. But South Paulding beat Coffee 90-82. Ja'Cory Wilson at 33 points, 6 rebounds, 4 blocks. And Kane Williams, going to Georgia State, just does everything, 25 points, 6 rebounds, 13 assists, 7 steals, and 3 blocks. Now, both of those teams, what, they both scored 90 points and then 88 points? I don't see that happening. That might take 5 overtimes to get that much. I think that's going to be a real low-scoring, close, nip-and-tuck game. South Cobb has beaten Allatoona twice this year, so that means that they've seen good defenses and have been able to get over the hump. South Paulding has had some close calls, but they're always coming up clutch late in the game. I think South Paulding, they're going to have to keep Ralu Arizo off the glass. That's going to be a key component there, a big 6'8 guy that likes to block shots and get second-chance points. But that should be a really good one. Trenton Wade, he's going to have a good game for South Cobb if they want to knock off South Paulding.
Northside Warner Robins takes on Brunswick, two teams that have relatively sailed through the first two rounds, beating each of their prior two opponents by 15. They meet.
Northside is only 15-14, so they're one of those Region 1 teams that are really coming out of the weeds. We didn't expect a whole lot out of Region 1, but they've been playing exceptionally well. They pounded Pope 81-60, and now they see Brunswick. And Northside, they have a lot of dual sport athletes, a lot of football players that are playing well on the basketball court. Jalen Sandifer, Trayvon Willis, Marquavius Williams. But the big matchup, I think, inside is going to be Kamani Dunham for Brunswick going to College Charleston. He's about 6'8", 250, 260. He's going up against Sammy Mike of Northside, a sophomore, 6'8". Maybe 200 pounds. He's got to put on a lot of weight, but he's a good shot blocker. He does a lot of good things inside. He can control the paint at times, but that's going to be a very, very interesting clash of the Titans with a big beefy score and a guy that's a shot blocker. And Brunswick, they have great balance on the perimeter. Derek Lampkin, Daquan Humphreys, Marcus Scott, and Jalen Jackson. A lot of good pieces there. I think Brunswick will have enough to win this game, but I wouldn't be surprised if Northside really gives them some problems just because they're hot right now, they're playing very good basketball, and they do have a shot blocker inside.
On the right side of 6A, Langston Hughes has traveled on the road twice. They've scored 59 twice, and then have won twice. This time they'll be traveling to take on Gainesville.
They met early in the season, and Gainesville, they took it to them 74-57. Now, this game, everyone's asking, is Khalil Cuffey back on the sidelines? Is he back with Langston Hughes? I don't know. I don't think he's back there, but that's what games, so everyone's worried about, because if they have a Division I guy back in the fold for Langston Hughes, who decided to step away from the team in the region tournament, that's a big deal right there, and that's a big deal that he left the team in the first place. Langston Hughes has all the firepower in the world with Landers Nolley, Khalil Cuffey, if he's there, and Derek Cook. That's a team that's kind of been a tease this year. Man, they had a lot of talent, but they haven't really been able to string it together and really be a top three team in the state this year. They struggled with Lee County. They pulled one out of the fire. But now they get a crack at Gainesville again, who Gainesville's just steamrolling everybody, 70-44 over Effingham County. Gainesville looks like they're all healthy. KJ Buffin, the Roster Twins, Guan Hale, Bailey Minor was Region 8 Player of the Year, who can just knock down threes, Xavier Bledson. They have everything cooking. I think it's going to be a real uphill task for Langston Hughes to break Gainesville's press and be able to beat them. I mean, they lost by 17 in the first meeting. Good that they have film and they can correct things with Roy Welsh, correcting things on the sidelines and doing their due diligence in practice. But I mean, Gainesville is just, I still think Gainesville is a team to beat with just how much talent they can throw out there at one time, and how well they play together, and their defense just so long with 6'6 guys trapping up front. That's going to be real tough for Langston Hughes to find a way. But if you have Landers Nolley on your team, a guy that can hit 10 threes at the drop of a hat and go off for 30, 40 points, anything can happen.
Another Region 5 team in Tri-Cities will be traveling to take on Allatoona.
Yeah, Allatoona, that was I was at their Sweet 16 game. They beat Jonesboro 61-56. They made MJ Walker not look as much as a McDonald's All-American as he was. He had 24 points, but he was probably about 6'21", 6'22 from the field. He had to battle for every single hoop there. Tri-Cities, they got rid of Valdosta in double overtime in a thriller 66-65. This is going to be an interesting game. I think Tri-Cities is another defensive-minded team, much like Alatoona. They're going to run a lot of different sets on offense. They're going to be very patient. They have DeMarcus Johnson, a good guard, and a couple other pieces in there that are some decent size and can rebound well, and they'll be very patient on offense. But I think a game like that kind of matches up well for Alatoona. Alatoona is always going to be right there with that defense. Trey Dooms had a great game against MJ Walker. He had 15 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, played very in control of himself, 8 of 8 from the foul line. And then Tyler Jackson stepped up big with 16 points, and Mike Johnson went down in foul trouble early in the game. I like Alatoona to get back to the Final Four, but Tri-Cities has just come out of nowhere and been a tough customer this past whole entire month, and they have not really taken anything lightly. Coach Amari Forts has them peaking at the right time, so I think it's going to be another gritty game within single digits. I think it's going to be a tough one, but Alatoona at home, I think Alatoona and just that tradition of winning big games, I think that should help get over the hump.
On the girls' side, if you look at the horizontal top half of the bracket, there are some giant games there. In a matchup of two giants, top left, Harrison takes on Douglas County in a rematch.
Harrison beat them 64-48 at the Parkview Thanksgiving Tournament. Now, that was first month of the season, a long, long, long time ago. Sydney Wiggins was back healthy playing there. Now, I still don't know if she's back. She's going to Rice. She's a huge component for Harrison. I still don't know. She's been in and out of the lineup all season long, it feels like. But they did a great job on Arcella Clark, held her to 18 points, but she was 3 of 17 from the field. So Harrison played great defense on her. Amari Robinson had 12 points in that game for Douglas County. Now, those two are going to have to play very well to get over the hump and beat Harrison. I do think Harrison has really weathered the storm well without being at full strength. I think it's going to be a lot closer game than their first meeting, but that should be a really good matchup. Douglas County is going to play fast. They're going to shoot the ball well, and Harrison is just going to do the same thing. They have some size with their guards. The Jordan sisters would do a lot of nice things out there. May Willis, just a lot of Harper Vick, a lot of good players out there. Very high basketball IQ. But I do like Harrison to actually get past Douglas County. Just with how Douglas County's been playing, even though they have been playing well that first round scare with Pope is kind of eye-opening. But I think that should be a pretty good game. But I do like Harrison. I changed my mind. I did have Douglas County winning the state title. But I like Harrison, how they're playing right now with the 43-35 win over Tucker in the second round. I think they're doing all right.
And on the same top half right side, Mays travels to Winder Barrow.
Winder Barrow had a scare with Jonesboro, 38-34. Very close. And Mays did not have a scare with Greenbrier, 81-28. Kamaya Street's probably the best scorer in the state, or at least in that classification. I know she had 47 or 48 points last year in the tournament when they knocked off Grovetown. She can get super hot. Now, Winder Barrow, it looks like they're kind of struggling to score without Olivia Nelson-Odoa inside. If Mays can get this into an up-tempo, high-paced game, they can give Winder Barrow some problems. Now, Winder Barrow still has good guards, Shelly Watson, Lexi Maddox, Latrice Perkins, a lot of good pieces there. But if Mays gets this up and down and Kamaya Street gets hot, Mays could really give Winder Barrow some problems, I think.
Over to Class 5A, Riverwoods eked out two close ones, and now in the Elite Eight, they face Miller Grove.
Yeah, that was interesting. Riverwoods 64, Eagles Landing 63. That was a huge game. Charntine Champa, 17 points, including a game-winning three with 6 seconds left to really stun Eagles Landing. Eagles Landing just never, they had it going there for a little bit, and they just kind of fell off and didn't play up to their potential. And a great job. Buck Jenkins is a great, great coach over there at Riverwood. It was expected to be a down year for them, but they're back into the Elite Eight. Very impressive job there. Elijah Jenkins had 12 points in that win. Rudy Fitzgibbons had 14 points. But Miller Grove is Miller Grove. Still, Tay Hardy is going to play the passing lane. He's going to get a lot of layups, or at least try to. They have Jalen Mason there shooting the ball well. I like Kevin Page inside as a difference maker. He's really come on a lot since last year. Big junior, 6'7". He's starting to fill out into his body and understand how to score around the basket. He's kind of been an X factor for Miller Grove, I think, sometimes this season. I like him a lot. But I think Riverwood's not going to be afraid of Miller Grove. They're going to play him some tough defense, and I think it's going to be a fairly tight game in that one with Buck Jenkins on the sideline. Dueling X's and O's with Rajul Chester, it should be a good one.
And then Lithonia takes on Cedar Shoals.
Lithonia has been another team out of nowhere, Region 5, that good to Cab region, but they were the fourth seed. Dispatched to Villa Ricky in the first round, then beat Riverdale, who upset veterans 55-45. But I really do like Cedar Shoals in this one. I think Jacob Thomas has them going on right now. Slam Fleming, he is a talented scorer going to Charleston Southern. He is not going to let this team not get back to the Final Four, I don't think. I think him and Snipe Hall and Stavion Stevenson inside and the rest of the gang. Cedar Shoals has seen a lot of good competition this year. Lithonia is going to play them very, very tough with Wallace Corker coaching them up. But I really do like Cedar Shoals to take care of Lithonia and get back to the Final Four.
Warner Robins may have drawn the short end of the stick in having to play Buford.
Yeah, Buford. I mean, Buford had a nail biter. Alex Jones had that buzzer beater to beat New Hampstead 69-68. And I tried to warn people about New Hampstead. Orante Anderson had 33 points. The flamethrower lefty, only about 5'8". He was red hot. So Alex Jones had to save him. He finished with 13 points and 6 assists. David Beattie inside, 17 points. Marcus Watson, 20 points at 9 rebounds. Marcus Watson's going to have a big game against Warner Robins. I think he's an X factor in that one. Warner Robins is playing very well as well. I mean, they smacked down Southwest Cats 65-45. Nelson Phillips had 24 points. Colby Owens had 15. I think it's going to be a really tight game. Warner Robins plays good defense. Nelson Phillips is going to have to score the ball well. He's a kind of 6'4", 6'5", wing who's going to have to be all over the place defensively as well as offensively. But I think Marcus Watson, he's just going to be really tough to stop when he's 6'6", and strong, when he's pulling threes. And if he gets everything clicking, you have Eddie Martin as a head coach that knows how to win games. It's going to be tough, but I really do see that game being a very close one. I mean, it's Elite Eight. All these games should be close. But Warner Robins are going to have to bring their junkyard dog mentality to take a bite out of Buford.
And the last of the four in Class 5A, Carver Atlanta travels to Fayette County.
Fayette County, they 66-45 over Columbia. They really took it to Columbia. Noah Gurley going to Furman, 24 points, 6 rebounds, 4 blocks. Austin Naismith, good point guard, 15 points, 5 assists. They really made a statement in that game. And now Carver Atlanta, who won that Region 6, who doesn't have the sexiest record in the world, just maybe a couple games over 500, they are creeping and crawling their way to the Final Four. They're getting closer and closer and closer. The Cinderella story, one of many this year. But, I mean, it's just going to be tough. I don't know how they're going to stop Noah Gurley inside, 6'8", does a lot of things offensively and defensively, block shots, can step outside and even shoot the three ball. I like Fayette County to get past a very plucky Carver team who's been finding ways to win lately. But I think at the end of the day, I think talent and just that D1 guy, Noah Gurley, I think that wins out in this one.
On the girls' side of 5A, Maynard Jackson takes on Griffin, and they have some size, Maynard Jackson does.
Yes, Dominique Banks, who transferred in from Southwest Atlanta Christian this year, she's about a 6'5". She's a legit 6'5", and she's going to have to battle hard with Cincinnati-bound center and Deja Puckett, who's a double-double machine. She's going, pushing around 6'4 as well. So those are this is a great battle of the bigs right there. I don't know. I kind of want to lean towards Maynard Jackson this one just because they've been there before and they've taken these deep runs. Griffin's had a great season, a very talented young point guard on that team that's really been making things go. But I think Maynard Jackson, just their veteran presence, I think Jackson could have enough to slow down Griffin and Puckett inside.
on the same side of the bracket for the 5A girls. Buford has to travel to Warner Robins. 2-1 seeds, they flipped a coin, and Warner Robins won. So a long trip down south for Buford. Do you think Warner Robins, with the home court advantage, can stun Buford?
That's another good one-on-one matchup. Kezia Holmes was the region player of the year for Warner Robins. She can score the ball. She can rebound. She can block shots. She's a very versatile piece. I'm wondering if she's going to match up any with Tori Osmond, who was the region 8 player of the year for Buford, a big guard that can shoot it and do pretty much everything she wants out there as well for Coach Gene Durden. So that's a very talented one-on-one matchup. I think whoever gets the best out of those two is going to give their team a great chance of winning. Now, Warner Robins are about 27-1 for a reason. I mean, Buford's about 26-2 or so. So both teams don't really know what that L word means. I think that L word is loss or lose. Both teams don't know too much about that. And if, I mean, you mentioned that Warner Robins has them at home, that might play a role, but I think Buford and their winning pedigree of winning these close games and big games, that's going to bode well for them. But I really do like Kezia Holmes to really give Buford as much problems as possible and make this a really close game. And, you know, hopefully come down to a coin flip for them, see what happens, keep it a one-possession game in the fourth quarter. You never know what can happen. But that's going to be tough for the Demonettes to get past them, but it should be a good one.
Over in Class 4A, the gentlemen have Henry County taking on LaGrange.
That should be a great one. Henry County, we all know about Henry County. Damian Ross are going to New Orleans, big 6'4 downhill guard. Javon Green going to George Mason, had 57 points in the Holiday Hoopsgiving Classic when he really just went off and went crazy. And then Kobe Tate, he's a big X-factor, undersized post, about 6'5", but plays above the rim, great rebounder. I think he could be a key in this game. And then LaGrange is coming off a 85-74 win over Richmond Academy. LaPerrion Perry, 32 points and 8 rebounds. He's a tough guard. And then they got Brian Fannin inside, about 6'5", 6'6", and Keenan Gray as well, about the same size. Fannin had 13 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks. It's all going to be about containing LaPerrion Perry. If you're Henry County, you don't want to see him get off. Now, when I watched him play Upson Lee, he was very quiet. Upson Lee shut him down for the most part, and that's why Upson Lee blew him out. But if Henry County's not able to shut down LaPerrion Perry and he gets going, and they're playing at the barn over in LaGrange, and that is a tiny, tiny bandbox gym, and that place is going to get loud if LaGrange has a lead on Henry County or they go on a run or something like that. That's going to be a super tough environment for Henry County. But at the end of the day, I really do like Rosser and Javon Green, both of them just super battle tests to play with the Atlanta All-Stars over the summer, along with Tate as well. So that's a team that's been playing together. Seth Brown also was on that team, who's probably about a fourth or fifth option for him offensively. But I think Henry County, it's going to be a tough game, but I think Henry County does have enough juice to pull one out in the barn and get a signature victory and go on to the Final Four.
Thompson takes on Upson Lee.
Upson Lee, they had a scare with Stevens County, 76-71. But when you have Ty Fagan out there scoring 29 points, you're always going to have a shot to win, and they did just that. And Thompson, that was a 3 seed who I had in the top 10, never quite put it together, and now they're putting it together, piecing it together. Another overtime victory over Blessed Trinity, 55-48. Now, this is going to be a tough one. Darius Terman inside, 6'5", 4, go inside and outside. Versatile piece for the Bulldogs. Rydarian Johnson averaging 18 points per game. He can fill it up. He's a clutch shooter. A couple more good pieces over there. But Upson Lee, it's going to be at the Castle. I think that place is going to be rocking. They have to play good defense. Don't let Thompson hurt him on the glass. Thompson doesn't have that crazy big size. Not a lot of 6'7 or 6'8 guys. They're pretty consistently going about 6'2, 6'3 across the board, with the exception of a few players, with Terman, who's about 6'5. But with Ty Fagan, the best player on the court of all times, I think they're just going to have enough to get by him. He took a visit to Georgia just the other day on an unofficial visit. he's going to be a key piece. I think he's going to give Thompson a lot of trouble to try and slow him down. And then Trayvon Walker, I think he could hurt Thompson on the boards. He's a big 6'6 rebounder, football star. And then Zyrese Scott, he orchestrates offense, passing the ball, and hitting open threes when needed. So I think Upson Lee, it's going to be tight. I think Upson Lee is a team that is a second-half group. They really let these teams stay around with them for the most part, for the first, second, sometimes even the third quarter. But at the end of the day, I think the Knights run away with it, and they slip by Thompson in a fairly close game. But I think Thompson just runs out of gas on the road.
In the top right side of that bracket for Class 4A, another matchup of one seed, St. Pius X lost the coin flip, so they'll be traveling to meet Carver Columbus.
Everett Lane had 23 points and a 74-71 win over Mary Persons. That was a great win. St. Pius, now they're hitting the road. That's a shame, because when you're in the X Dome, that place is absolutely packed. Probably the best crowd in the state. You can't even move in there. Quite the scene to see how they fill that place up, and the passion and the fan base, they really get it going. And St. Pius, they use that to their advantage against Mary Persons. They trailed the majority of the game before taking a bit of a run to get past them. But Carver's going to be tough. Daniel Melvin, Region 1 Player of the Year. He's about 6'4". He'll rebound. He'll shoot. He'll score. He'll block shots. He can assist. They pretty much run the offense through him. I think he's a little bit like Cam Holden as far as just a lot of usage, and he just does so many key things over there, Coach Beulah's team. It's a really tough matchup. St. Pius is going to be very well coached, Coach Parr. They're going to be patient. They're going to play good defense, and Carver's going to try and get Melvin the ball and let him create. That long trip over to Columbus could hurt St. Pius, but I really think that's going to be another toss-up game. Region 8 versus Region 1. Region 1 looked very good all season long. Region 8 kind of been up and down, but St. Pius has really come roaring out of that region with the number one seed and really been taking it to some teams before that that close win over Mary Persons. So that should be another fun one over there in Columbus if you're out in West Georgia.
The last matchup in Class 4A, Perry takes on Sandy Creek.
Sandy Creek got past Westover 84-73 last round. Perry's going to throw Damian Bagley at him, a good scoring guard, Jake Smith as well, another good player. They're going to have some good guard play. But I still like Sandy Creek with just their length and their depth. Evan Jester inside, KJ Wilkins from the guard spot, Cameron Miller playing pesky defense, Jared Godfrey, TJ Bickerstaff. I just still think all the pieces are there for Sandy Creek, and I think Sandy Creek's going to get by Perry, a very tough Perry team who's been playing really well out of Region 2 with that 3 seed.
And on the girls' side, rarity, Sandy Creek, both the girls and the boys are hosting an Elite 8 game.
Indeed they are. That's very interesting to see Sandy Creek in there, and they're going to be playing against Madison County, and Madison County is just the Cinderella of all Cinderellas this year. They came in with a pretty crummy record. They're about 15-14 now, maybe. I think they're finally over 500. But they shocked North Clayton 48-40, snapped a 16-game winning streak for North Clayton. Now, that was something basically unexpected, but Madison County hurt them inside. Jordan Bailey had 20 points and 11 rebounds. Adriana Maxwell had 20 points as well. So even though it looks like Sandy Creek should be the favorite on paper, I've seen Sandy Creek struggle at times. I saw them lose to Cartersville, which is a very surprising result because Cartersville was at the bottom of that Region 5 and their standings there, and they lost to them. So anything can happen. Madison County's red hot right now. That should be a good one. I wouldn't be surprised if Madison County keeps rolling on and this Cinderella story takes the Final Four.
Give me a prediction for Columbus at Spalding.
Ooh, boy. I watched Columbus beat West Hall 50-47 just this past week. Tatiana White going to Kentucky had 21 points and 9 rebounds. Uriah Copeland had 12 points, 16 rebounds, 5 blocks. She's going to Alabama. It was a 31-point, 8-rebound performance from Anna McKendry. I like Columbus here just because they have two big girls inside that are going to the SEC. Spalding smacked down north of Coney 65-44, which was a great result. Spalding's tough, and their guards are going to give Columbus some problems. But if Columbus is able to get some help from their guards and get some key shots, Brittany Floyd had a big-time three in the third quarter. Naiza Williams, another big three as well for her in the third quarter. Floyd contributed 10 points in that game. If they get anything from their guards, I think Columbus is going to have enough to get to the Final Four.
And speaking of rarities, Jefferson versus Carver-Columbus, I'll ask you for your prediction in a moment here, but Carver-Columbus also has their boys and girls team hosting an Elite Eight game.
Gotta love it, right? You gotta love it, a little double-dip action over there. Now, Jefferson's going to be a tough customer with Jazz Mount, Abby Franklin, Hope Forrester can bang around inside. Carver has those good juniors in Alicia Reese and Maria Igas. I like Jefferson in this one, though. I mean, Jefferson's probably not going to have quite as many athletes as Carver Columbus is, and Carver is very, very adept with dealing with these teams. I mean, they've seen Columbus how many times? They've seen America Sumter. They've seen Shaw. They've seen a lot of talent. But Jefferson's playing very well right now. I think Jefferson, in a very close one, is going to kind of surprise some people. I think they're going to get past Carver Columbus.
In the 3A classification, Westside Macon is taking on Pace.
That could be a state championship showdown right there. Westside's going to have to travel to Pace. They're going to pack that stadium out over there. But I think Westside, their guard play, is just going to be a little too much for Pace, which is surprising because Pace has Wendell Carter inside and Isaiah Kelly. They have two studs, but I'm starting to learn that it's all about the guards. You got Kevon Moore, 6'8 point forward, Simone Reed, and Trey Foster are really going to be controlling the tempo over there, and I do like Pace to fall in a close one against Westside because I think Westside coach Josh Groob's going to have a good game plan for Wendell Carter to try and slow him down, and if Pace isn't shooting the ball well from deep, they're not hitting a bunch of three-pointers with Barrett Baker, I think Westside wins that one.
Islands is taking on Liberty County.
Liberty County, they were up 41-4 at the end of the first quarter against Cohola Creek last round, and they routed them 105-62. And Islands played very well as well. They had a 89-62 win over East Hall. Trey Broadnecks had 27 points in that game, but I think even though they have a lot of seniors on that Islands team, Trey Broadnecks is just a sophomore. I think Liberty County, just the overwhelming power of Davion Mitchell and Will Richardson is going to be too much. I think Liberty County wins that one pretty easily.
Lovett is traveling to Morgan County.
Morgan County, they don't have quite the D1 guys they had a year ago, but they've been playing super well out of Region 8, and Lovett has seen some good talent. They beat Chris 71-69 last round. Ryan Greer is going to have to really orchestrate things for that Lion offense, and he's going to give Coach Jamon Sims some trouble just with his craftiness and ability to score the ball. That's going to be a pretty tight game. Alec Woodard, look for him to knock down some big three-pointers for Morgan County in that game. And if he gets going, I think Morgan County is going to have enough to get past Lovett.
And finally, Jenkins is taking on Calhoun.
Calhoun, they scored a nice 67-61 win over Central Macon. They kind of hurt Central Macon inside. Now, Chapin Ryerson had 27 points, 10 rebounds. He hit six threes. And then Dave Zown had 18 points and 11 rebounds. But against Jenkins, who knocked them out last year and handed Calhoun their only loss of the season, there's going to be a lot of revenge factor over there. They're going to have to come play at the Hive over in Calhoun. I think Jenkins is ready for this game. Travion Lamar had a big game in their previous round, had 18 points in the second half to lead Jenkins over Cedar Grove, 71-56. Then Tyrone Scott is just a freak athlete, had 17 points in that game. I think Jenkins might be able to break Calhoun's heart for the second straight year. Hate to say it to the Hive fans up there.
On the girls' side, Central Macon is taking on Beach.
Jada Clowers versus Judasia Hills inside. That's going to be a big-time matchup. Clowers is a big body, a shot blocker, and can score inside. If she can control the paint for Central Macon and the Chargers get some good guard play to go around her, they're going to give Beach some problems. But at the end of the day, I still do like the Bulldogs since they're coming out of that tough Savannah region. They played Johnson however many times. I think Beach just seen enough to be able to withstand a big post presence inside like Clowers.
We'll keep it moving on to 2A. Dublin's taking on Laney.
Oh, boy. Cameron Paldo is back from suspension after Dublin took care of business in two close games. Now that's 27 points injected back to the starting lineup. Now he's going to be getting harassed by Donald Henley and Tankersley and all these great players. Good, quick guards over there for Laney. But I think in the upset, I think Dublin knocks off Laney. I think Paldo, he's going to be a born-again man. He gets a second crack at life after getting suspended and could have saw a season end up short. But I think Dublin finds a way to knock off Laney.
Chattooga and Swainsboro on the same left side of the bracket there.
Yeah, we saw that one being the group of death, and Chattooga was down 45-44 against Thomasville, and then they sparked a 10-0 run, and they blew out Thomasville at Reggie Perry and the big guys inside, 68-51. Isaiah Foster had 12 points in that fourth quarter. He had 19 points. Now, that's a great backcourt with his brother Isaac Foster and then Devin Price and Jay Shropshire. But Swainsboro is going to be pretty tough. They're a tough customer. They have a region player of the year, Jalen McKinney, who's about a 5'7 guard, kind of small, but he can play. But I do like Chattooga in this one. They've proven to me that they can beat some teams that give them mismatch issues, and why not Chattooga going to the Final Four?
For the right side, give me your predictions. Josie versus Early County.
I like Early County. I can't tell you why. But I think Early County has enough to get past Josie, who had a great win over Banks County, 77-68. In that loss, Kamal Wiley scored his 1,000th point of his career. The senior had 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 blocks in the loss. But Josie had a 25-12 third quarter where they outscored Banks and snapped Banks' 20-game winning streak. So even with that being said, I think Early County bows up. They won 93-63 against Rockmart in that second round. I think Early County finds a way to stop Josie.
And your prediction for South Atlanta at Washington County?
Too much Devontae Pullins, too much Tyler Thornton, who was the Region 6 Player of the Year, the 6'7 lefty inside, unsigned senior. Just too much right there for South Atlanta. I think they end Washington County's run and they advance to the Final Four.
On the girls' side, an interesting matchup. Bryan County's taking on a Modell team that always seems to be relevant and hanging around.
You're right about that. Now, Bryan County, Julianne Brown, she's averaging just under 21 points and 7 rebounds a game. She can score the ball. She can shoot it. She can get to the basket. She's going to have a great game. But Victoria Saxon really anchors the Blue Devils inside. She's a stud, about 6'3 inside. She can block shots. She can score. She's an X factor there. I see that one being a close one. That should be a really fun matchup. But I think Model is kind of rolling right now, and they might be able to slip by Bryan County.
For Class A Private, the boys' side, Holy Innocents at Green Forest.
Green Forest is too big, too strong, too defensive-minded. Cole Smith had a great game for Holy Innocents. He was going crazy in the first quarter in their 71-56 win over Tatnall Square. He's going to have to shoot the lights out of the ball. We're talking 6-7 threes for Holy Innocents to hang around at Green Forest. Jules Irving's going to have to get something splashed around the basket, and Richard Sertakowski has grown up playing against some of these big guys like Ike Abiyagi. But I think Green Forest just too big inside, too much defense. I think Green Forest pulls it out.
St. Francis at Aquinas.
Aquinas had a scare with Stratford, 40-34, which is kind of scary. But I don't know, Aquinas, it's just something different. With St. Francis, all those great freshmen, Chase Ellis and Juan Odom, but there's something about being 14, 15 years old, going up against 16, 17, and 18-year-olds and some grown men over there in Aquinas, especially Trey Gobillion. I think Aquinas and Coach Darren Douglas, I think they flex their muscle and they beat St. Francis in a close defensive-minded game over there over in Augusta, which is going to be a long trip for St. Francis. That's about 3 hours. I think Aquinas rides their home crowd in that bandbox, little tight gym. They play some tough defense, and they knock off St. Francis in a bit of a surprise statewide.
On the right side, Athens Christians travels to Lakeview Academy.
Lakeview Academy has been the team to beat all year long in that Region 8, and Athens Christian is from Region 8, and they've never solved Lakeview Academy. Now, they played them close. I think it was in the championship game. I think it might have been a two-point game, but still, Lakeview Academy, they have their number. I like Lakeview Academy in that one.
In the bottom right, Southwest Atlanta Christian taking on North Cobb Christian.
Well, Southwest Atlanta Christian, they retired Dwight Howard's jersey, and they ended another great high school player's career in Isaiah Hart for Whitfield Academy. They lost 61-59 to Southwest Atlanta Christian. He had 35 points in his final game in a Whitfield Academy jersey. But SACA versus North Cobb Christian, two great scorers, DeAndre Ballard going to Florida, 6'6". And then same thing with Demir Brown, who's not going to Florida, but he's about 6'6", just a bowling ball, can score inside and outside, does so much. I like North Cobb Christian in this game, even though Southwest Atlanta Christian has some size and the athletes are really giving them some problems, but I think Demir Brown has just been going crazy this year, and he's going to find a way to score them to victory.
On the ladies' side of the ball in Class A private, interesting matchup in Darlington versus Lakeview Academy. A couple good individual performers in that one.
Oh, we got two of the best scorers in the state down there. That should be quite the game. We have two players with over 2,000 career points. Anna Claire Atha going to Wofford of Darlington versus Hannah Grogan, who is the all-time leading scorer of boys and girls for Lakeview Academy. I saw her break the record. That is going to be a phenomenal shootout between those two. But I don't know. That's going to be a toss-up game. Darlington's tough. Atha has some nice size to her. She's a physical presence. She can score the ball all over the floor. Grogan's a little more slim and trim and a shooter. That's a good one. I'm not even going to give you a projection on that one, but I just know those two girls, I'll set the over-under for 60 points on how much they combine for.
And in our eighth and final classification, Class A public on the boys' side, Macon County takes on Troutland.
Yeah, that's a good one. Troutland, they were down 6 to Lincoln County heading into that fourth quarter, but they really, you know, put their foot on the gas. TK McClendon was too much. Arcavius Lovett too much as well. That's just going to be a really tough one for Macon County, but I think Macon County could give them some issues. That's a team with a talented score. Clayton Jenkins can really fill it up. He had 30 points in their win over Quitman, 88-64. Trey Brown gave him 20 points and 12 rebounds. That should be a good one. That should be a really good one. But Troutland has home court advantage. And after seeing some of the calls those referees made and their last round game with some ins and outs on who the ball was last touched off of, I like Troutland in this one.
Wilkinson County takes on Taylor County.
Wilkinson County, they really pounded Crawford County. Now, Crawford County without Markel Melton, you got to have the grades to be able to play, and he did not have the grades when he was not on that team. Taylor County's a good team, though. Lynn J. Dixon, explosive athlete. John Corbin has hit the glass hard for him, averages a double-double. But Clarence Jackson, I think, is a trump card here. He's going to be in the running for player of the year in that classification. I think Wilkinson, just with that Wilkinson on their chest, scares a lot of teams. I think Wilkinson gets back to the Final Four.
On the right side of the bracket, Turner County is taking on Calhoun County.
Rayshawn Williams versus Tamarion Terry. Terry's about 6'3". He's a wide receiver that signed to play at Florida State for Turner County. That's averaged about 20 points and 14 rebounds at the undersized post. But Calhoun County has that size with Williams, about 6'6", 6'7", himself. That can really give them some problems. And Calhoun County has been the number one team in the state for pretty much the entire season. So I think Calhoun County gets by Turner County, even though Terry has a big game for Turner County.
And finally, Montgomery County taking on Clinch County.
I like Clinch County here, even though Montgomery scored a nice 60-59 win over Wilcox County. I do like Clinch. Jared Jones, Jacques Holmes, two good guards, Tresman Marshall, who's a football stand-up. I think Clinch has something special going on over there, and I think they get past Montgomery.
On the girls' side in Class A public, Greenville takes on Pelham.
Now, Pelham is the best team in the state for Class A girls, but Greenville might have the best single talent in Class A girls, and that's Brittany Davis. Now, she is only averaging 35.9 points, 11.3 rebounds, just under 5 assists, 6 steals, and over 2 blocks a game. So she can fill it up. She is, but the problem is she's a one-man team, and she's going to get her 40 points, but I don't think they're going to beat Pelham. I think Pelham keeps her in lock. She's seriously going to have to score 50 or 60 points, which she has been able to do this year. But against that Pelham defense, I don't see her getting that many points, and they're not going to let just one girl beat them. So I like Pelham to beat them pretty handily in a double-digit victory.
Well, Kyle, we've covered, again, 16 combined 16 classifications of GHSA basketball. It's been fun, and we're getting to the pinnacle of great basketball here in the state of Georgia.
I expect some more madness to occur this week when everything's on the line and it's just one game to go to the Final Four. Expect some madness and some crazy things to happen. Thanks for having me today, Ramin. I'm trying to gut it out with this cold and the sickness. Hopefully I'm able to be healthy for some of these games come boys and girls action on Tuesday and Wednesday. So wish me luck on getting healthy. And Ramin, as always, it's been a blast. Everybody, I just want to let you know that all state teams will be coming out very shortly after the season concludes. I already have all my all state teams pretty much locked and loaded for you. So keep an eye on that. And again, keep up with me on Twitter at KyleSandy355 for the February Frenzy Bracket Challenge and see who's winning in those. I am winning in Class 7A and Class 6A. But I have a feeling if something goes askew, I might not even be in the running after this week. So a lot to still be decided. And Ramin, thanks for joining me on this journey, sir.
It's been a pleasure, Kyle. We'll be back with you, I guess, at the tail end of this week to start looking forward to the semifinals, which are all going to be played on Saturday. All classes, or I guess each class, boys and girls, will be played at the same site, alternating games. So expect another podcast to come out shortly. And as always, sandyspiel.com. Check it out.
Thanks. We'll see you next week.